Come to be the book of Ruth. Mother's Day today. And it seems like it's Mother's Day, we need to talk about mothers. And Ruth is a common place that we go to, you know, for a special day like this. And this last, a month or so ago, when I read through the book of Ruth, I was challenged by some things that I saw in that book. And if you notice in the bulletin today, it says the book of Ruth, and Ruth is crossed out, and we've got God there, the book of God. And whereas the book of Ruth tells a story about Ruth, it tells us much more about God. And the book of Ruth really is about God's discipline, care, and provision for His people. And it's illustrated in the life of two women, Naomi and Ruth. And we have this wonderful picture of how God has put together a culture in Israel to care for His people. And we see His personal superintendence over that. And it's a point that I think we need to increasingly make today. There's a word that has been thrust into my experience through some of my reading lately. It is the word consciousness. And the point of us being conscious of God in our times. And it's one thing to read these stories and learn about God, and all those things are wonderful and true. But there's another thing to that, and it's something we have talked about for years and years as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have a personal relationship with God. And there needs to be that consciousness of God's activity, of God's interaction with us in our lives through His Word. I want to add that because it is not a subjective experience. It's a very objective experience that we understand as we understand the Scriptures. So please don't go beyond that. And incidentally, that brings me to a point that I want to do a little advertising. We're going to go back to our study in prophecy tonight, and talking about the consciousness of God and understanding His interrelationship with this world. I think Christians have broadly become what 200 or 300 years ago were known as deists. Somehow we believe in creation, but we think God created the world, and then He said, well, I'll take a walk and just let it go however it wants to, and I'll come back and check on it periodically. God is actively working in our world. And tonight we're going to be looking at one of probably the most predominant signs of the last days. And I want to encourage you, I know Mother's Day is not a good time to be back to church Sunday night, but I want to encourage you to be back to church tonight, and we're going to be looking at what I think is probably the most predominant sign of the last days, or what we would call the days of the Lord, the day of the Lord. So we'll be looking at that tonight. But now we're in the book of Ruth. And while it is the story of God's care for His people, and while it is the story of a Moabite woman who has come under the wonderful care and blessing of God, I want today to look at it from the perspective of Naomi. Naomi has become to me one of my heroes as I have studied and worked on this particular text of Scripture. And I want to share with you this morning why Naomi has become one of my heroes. Let's pray before we do. Our Father, as we open up Your Word together this morning, we pray that by Your Spirit, You would speak to us. Instruct us, I pray, in the way of truth. Challenge us this morning with the life and testimony of Naomi, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this story from the perspective of Naomi, it is a sad story. It's a story about a woman who has lost almost everything. She's lost her home. She's lost her husband. She's lost her children. But in all of those losses, she has not lost her testimony. And what a noble thing that is about this woman. While Naomi lost much that was physical, she did not lose her faith. The word Naomi means my delight. And it is a wonderful picture to us of God's choosing of the children of Israel who were His delight. In the Psalms, it speaks of them as being the apple of His eye. And as much as that is true, with the corporate body of God's people, it is all true, also true of each individual that is His. God loves us with a love that is deep and comprehensive. And we find accounts of that throughout, especially the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He says that even the hairs of your head are numbered. Your own mother didn't know you that well and didn't watch you that carefully. But God does. He does that because He's a God of unique compassion. One thing that we find in this story from the perspective of Naomi very clearly is, and quickly, is God's children often suffer hardships. We need to acquaint ourselves with that reality and understand that it is not an unusual thing that God's children would experience hardships. Notice with me, please, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 13. And I'll read the whole verse, but we're getting just the last half of it is what I want to give your attention to. Naomi is speaking to her daughters-in-law here after the death of her sons. She says to him, "Would you tarry for them?" That is, if she would have some new sons till they were grown. "Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters." Now notice what she says. "For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." What an incredible observation she makes at this point. She realizes that God's hand of discipline has come out upon her, but it has its ripple effect upon all of those who are around her. And I think as we read this story carefully, we will understand that Naomi understands that discipline. She trusts that discipline, but she regrets that it extends into the life of those who are around her. We have all experienced that in our lives. As we go through the events of life and may feel the difficulty of hardships that come upon us, we understand that we are not the sole recipient of those hardships. We see that in the lives of those who become very ill, and their partners bear that illness with them. We bark at them once in a while. We don't mean to do that, but what illness has done that to us? It might be discouragement, it might be pain, it might just be weakness, but all of a sudden we find ourselves barking at those around us. And in this particular story, I want to take some time and expand on this a little bit this morning. The nation of Israel had been disobedient to God. The book of Ruth occurs sometime within the time of the judges. What judge it was, we don't know. Could have been during the days of Gideon. Could have been Jephthah. Could have been Barak, Deborah. Could have been Samson. We don't know. But the nation itself, in its aggregate, had become unfaithful and disobedient to God. And as a result, God's judgment had come in upon everyone. That does not indicate to us that everyone was unfaithful, but the judgment against the entire nation affected them all. And at this particular time, the judgment of God was a famine. And for some reason, this household of Elimelech and Naomi weren't able to maintain their lives within the area of Bethlehem, which was their home, and thought it necessary for them to travel out of Israel, away from the people of God, and there hopefully find something that they could sustain themselves with in the land of Moab. Now, it may be that God's hand of discipline came on them even more severely because they had forsaken their own land. May have been the cause of the death of Elimelech. May have been the cause of the death of those two sons. Now, those are just suppositions, please. The text does not tell us that or teach us that. But nevertheless, Naomi is realizing that the hand of God is against her, and now these two dear ladies who had become her daughters-in-law are now in the loss of their husbands and the recipients of what Naomi sees as God's discipline in her life. And she's weary of that. I want you to understand that those situations occur. And we need to trust God through those times. I think of another particular situation that I've come across a couple times in reading both the book of Judges and the book of Kings, where all of a sudden you come upon a Levite that's out wandering away from his home. And you wonder, why is he doing that? Well, I think it's because of the apostasy of God's people. The people are no longer bringing the tithes into the temple. The very way that the Levite was intended to be employed and supported had eroded out of the country because of the apostasy of the people. And this Levite is out looking around to see what he can do to support himself. He became a recipient of the disobedience of God's people. Some people pay a greater price than others during these times. We need to understand that the broad majority choices of God's people bring effects upon the entire family. And I think it's something that we as the people of God need to understand today. The more wayward God's people become, the greater the consequences all of them experience. Let me just give you an illustration of that, if I may. It seems like we as Baptist preachers always pick on this, and I don't mean to be picking on this, but I'm going to talk to you about divorce. In the year 1914, in the nation of America, there was one divorce per 1,000. Today, it's more than 1 in 2. And I remember listening to Bill Gothard years ago, and have much confidence in what he said. He made this statement, and I am altering it a little bit, but this is pretty much what he said, that the major cause of divorce is the example of divorce. You see how that disobedience that some feel free to exercise becomes a temptation and a lure for others to do the same, until it just builds on itself and gets larger and larger and larger. Well, it seems like those kind of things were going on during the book of Ruth, and consequences were great, and Ruth was Naomi was experiencing those consequences. Now, with all of those consequences coming upon her, the loss of her home back in Bethlehem, and that was a financial thing, I'm sure. They couldn't maintain it, couldn't keep it. The loss of her husband, obviously a health issue, I would think. And the two sons, probably the same thing. And she finds herself in the land of Moab, a foreign land, and hears that back in her hometown, Bethlehem, things are getting better. And she's deciding to go back. Now, as we see that happening, we find both Ruth and Orpah, who say, we'll go back with you. And that's when Naomi says to them, no, girls, you're probably better off without me. I want to be an albatross around your neck. Stay here in the land of Moab. Interesting that you said that. But I want you to see, I'm going to make a few observations about Naomi. Whereas she said that, she was not rejecting her homeland. She was not rejecting her God. Because that's where she was going to go back to. And I want you to see that in even all of this hardship, Naomi was influential in the life of Naomi. That's an important thing to see. And it's a portion of Scripture that we're most acquainted with in the book of Ruth. Those with me, verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I suggest to you that Ruth obviously saw a reality in Naomi's hardship that attracted her to Naomi's God. That is something that's fascinating. We have this celebrity endorsement idea today that somehow we're going to influence these people who are outside of Christ to be hungry to learn of Christ if we can find somebody who is rich and popular and successful to endorse our faith. The person of God was endorsed here by a woman who had suffered greatly but had not forsaken her faith. I think that that is a far greater endorsement and is far more effective and is far more successful than all of this goofy stuff that we think we can do with our success to somehow promote the work of God. It is that individual, quiet trust and testimony of Christ that makes the difference. There are many portions of Scripture that I've set out to share with you today that have to happen in another time. I'm not going to give them to you. If you want to look it up, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 11, Romans 8, 36 and 37. If you're taking notes, just put those verses down there and come back later and read those. Second observation I want to make, the testimony of Naomi led Ruth to make a lifelong commitment to God. Isn't that an amazing thing? What was that? Had Ruth seen the greatness of Solomon? No, because there was no Solomon. What was it that Ruth saw? She saw the humble commitment of a hurting woman. And it led her to make a lifelong commitment to God. A strange reality. We might quote in that context Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Another observation I want to make is Ruth certainly had no idea that by her faith in God she would be released from the usual and normal or even bitter struggles of life. There is a false Christ that's being offered to this world today that says Christ will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. There is no such promise in the Scriptures. What our Savior will do is guide you safely through this life. He will give you wisdom and strength to endure the issues of this life that He ordains you to experience. And in the end, you will confess that He has done all things well. It seems we must conclude that Ruth's objective was to come into a committed relationship with the authentic God. Sam Hoffman shared this article with me this week. It came out of the Washington Post, didn't it, Sam? Don't necessarily agree with this woman's theology, but she's making some observations. And I don't even think it's a born-again woman. The title of the article is What Millennials Want Millennials Back in the Pews? Stop Trying to Make Church Cool. She is observing all of these foolish things that are happening predominantly in the new evangelical movement where they're just bringing the world into the church to try to attract the church to the world. And basically what she's saying is, we can get all that stuff out there we want. When we come to church, we want to become associated with the authentic God. God help us to stand in those places today. We don't need to fill our pews with those who have no taste for our God. Another thing I want to bring to your attention is Naomi brought Ruth into a relationship with God's people. If you skip over to verse 19 of chapter 1, we'll find this. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now, you see, that's something that used to kind of make me react to Naomi. I don't think that she's being ornery or nasty. She's saying, my life has been bitter. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty.
Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I think there's some genuine repentance there. He said, I only got what I had claimed. So Naomi returned. And I would say that because she returned. She didn't say, nuts to the God of Israel, I'm going to stay in Moab. She came back to the God of Israel, whom she knew and loved and trusted. So Naomi returned and moved the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest.
Naomi brought Ruth to a place where there was a consciousness of the authentic God. I think that we need to understand that. Let me say this first to those of you who may be newly saved and young in Christ. You need to find your home among those who worship the authentic God. You need to leave Moab. Your Friday nights and your Saturday nights need to be different. Your friendships need to be different. Betty was telling me the other day that when Don got saved, all of his friends changed. Now, that wasn't that his friends in themselves changed. He had different friends. I say to those of you who are young in Christ, you need to build your friendships among the people of God. I say to those of us who are as Naomi, we need to build the young of Christ into our lives. We need to have open homes and open lives where they can come and be in experience with those who worship the true God. This is not just a matter of peers. It's grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, sisters, and brothers. We need to understand how imperative it is that those who know Christ be in the company of those who know Christ. I believe Naomi understood that. And then our time is gone, but I want to say Naomi taught Ruth how to behave and prosper in this new land and culture. She said to her, Ruth, you've come to our land, and here's how God does things in our land. We are poor, but God has provided within our culture this idea of gleaning. And we are permitted to go out in the fields and pick grain and things like that for our sustenance. We're not robbing. This is part of what God has put into our culture to care for us. And then she sought her welfare in the area of a husband because God had provided within the culture how a widowed woman could be cared for and gain a new husband. And Naomi taught Ruth how to do that. Have we learned the ways of God and are we teaching it to our children and to our loved ones and to new believers? Are we teaching them how to function and be happy within the work of God? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. We need to teach God's people God's ways. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Ruth would thrive at her new home. Why? I give you three reasons. One, she had an unwavering commitment to Christ. Here's the bottom line. Number two, she was in association with God's children. And number three,
she learned the ways of God. How are we doing? Are we behaving like Naomi? Do new believers have a chance to get into our lives? Do we understand the importance of this? Let me just take you to one portion of Scripture in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter has just finished preaching a great sermon, and now we're given a historical account of what happened and what they did. And in verse 44, it says this, "All that believed were together and had all things common." Isn't that interesting? I find that amongst believers that they don't own much. It belongs to the family. You know, need to borrow my hammer? It's in the third drawer from the bottom in the cabinet. Matter of fact, there's six there. You can have all you want. "They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Is that compassion and helpfulness within the family of God? "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." I want to get just taking this one phrase, breaking bread from house to house. They're not taking communion there. They're enjoying their meals together. I can't say enough to you about mealtime. Horses and cattle and sheep, they graze. They just eat all day long. They don't have a mealtime. And even when we fed them in the barn, they didn't talk to one another. But I think mealtime for people is different. I think it's a time especially for the family to sit down and say, "How was your day today?" Don't rush the mealtime. And at this particular time, in this Roman culture, the evening meal lasted 3 to 5 hours. And it says that they did this together. We have become so spread apart. We all got our new life that we're living over here, you know. And it's easier. And I'm not saying that we're doing it intentionally, but I think we need to intentionally do something different. It's why we have our Tuesday night summer conference. Well, we can get together, you know, just bring your supper, put it on the grill, a dish to pass, and let's have some fellowship and enjoyment together. You say, "Well, I don't think I need that." No, but Ray does. And Don does. We need to be in fellowship with one another. I was struggling with a portion of Scripture this week, and of all things, Dick Wise, with half a mind, after surgery, put me on the right track when I asked him about a portion of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Iron sharpened with iron, so a man sharpens the powers of the Spirit. I think Naomi is a delight. God used her in a special way, and out of it came a very special way. Father, thank you for the time we've had to consider the word together today. Lord, help us to quietly think of our own lives today. Our lives, we may be battered and bruised, broken and torn, but that does not take away from our testimony. It may only enhance it. May we not forsake you, the living God. Then, Father, may we love the people of God. May we seek your fellowship. May we associate ourselves with those who are in relationship with you, the authentic God. help us to be like our dear sister in law, Jesus' name.